God's grace and peace and love be with you now and always. Amen. Who are we? Who are you? Who am I? As humans, we are very complex and multi-layered. Our first layer that we have is that created in the image of God. Go back to our layers. There's that slightly frayed and maybe faded layer of us being made in the image of God. This is, however, our primary special relationship. We share this same image with every other human who has ever lived, past, present, and future. We are invited to explore this reality our whole lives. And I hope that you're still thinking about this amazing fact that you are created in the image of God. As we look at ourselves and ask, who am I? We answer this in relationship to the one who created us and in whose image we are made. We ask it of someone. As soon as we ask it, we are already engaged in the most profound and intimate of dialogues between us and God. Who am I? As amazing as this relationship is, we are, unfortunately, no longer perfect images of God anymore, ever since the fall of Adam and Eve. I think of myself as a fractured image of God, a bit like a plate with all sorts of hairline fissures through it. Sometimes you see these really old plates and they've got all these cracks in them, you know? It is still one piece. And we can see what it is meant to look like, but if we look a bit closer, we saw all sorts of fault lines. But we are nevertheless images of God, as is every human being that we meet and that we know. In this image, we reflect our amazing abilities and our qualities, but we also have our human inbuilt limitations, including physically. I can't jump 10 stories. Mentally, my IQs only go so far. It's not 500 or 1,000 where God's is. And also our potential to be independent identities for good and for evil. And unfortunately, we've also chosen good and evil. Part of understanding whom we are is to recognise our limitations as well as celebrate our amazing abilities. We are humans made of flesh and blood pumping through your veins and your arteries this very minute, along with our consciousness and our agency, deciding and doing what we want to, which is our will. This is our first layer of what it means to be human. Our second layer, a slightly colourful one, with all the different things there, is that we are born into a family of parents and siblings, cousins, uncles and aunts, grandparents and grandchildren, and on it goes. This happens in such a diverse number of ways. In the Western world, we think of it often in terms of the idealistic nuclear family of father and mother and kids. But as we know, there are people who grow up with one parent, or who are adopted into another family, or who are brought up by their grandparents, uncles or aunts, or even by their older siblings. There are also the communal families of multi-generational relationships, which are very complex. Whichever way, we are all connected with a family with whom we have grown up and with whom we remain connected, often for the rest of our lives. But also recognising that some people just can't cope with their family and have stepped right back from them. But in stepping back, they're also still stepping back from their family. And their family still exists with the need to step back, but that's where they came from. Our third layer, and I'm changing the layers this time a little bit, is that we're also part of a larger societal community, which may be the local suburb or our street. This includes being a citizen of Australia and even of the world. These are the neighbours with whom we share fences and possibly cups of tea or chats over the fence. It is also the community that helps us to pick up our garbage each week, as well as defend our shores against foreign forces. It is our police force and teachers and medical teams in all shapes and sizes. It is our sporting interests, both on and off the field, political parties, lobby groups, and media. We all take part in this, even if it is just in paying our taxes and voting. Some people, like these people who call themselves Mr. Freeman, whether it be Desi or a number of other people who think they can just simply opt out of our community, realise that that's just not realistic and honest. And if they do, they've just created another community. It's a political group within Australia. And so they also have that social dimension to whom they are. Okay. Our fourth layer is that of friendships. And where these layers come is all sort of optional. That happens various times in our lives. And this is friendships with people along our journey through life. We have friends at school. We have friends as young adults. We have friends later when we're in the workforce or when we're in bringing up a family possibly, or we have friends that we discover late in life along the way. But unlike relatives, whom we cannot choose, we can choose our friends, with whom we feel comfortable and have similar interests and values. Friends can be discovered in various contexts or at various stages of our lives. Some are long-term. I actually got a friend in Melbourne whom I got to know when I was 10. And I still catch up with him now that we're 72. And even though that's been off and on at different times, there's still a lot of mutually shared experiences along the way. But they often provide a critical balance and alternative perspective to our other relationships, these friends that we have. They are also places to let off steam, or create and dream about big futures, or simply with whom we can have some time out from all our other relationships, or share some common interests that we might have. Our fifth layer is that we all have gifts and talents which we might employ in paid work, or in hobbies, or in caring for other people in a wide variety of ways. In these we can find a great degree of satisfaction and sense of worth that is derived from our various jobs, professions and skills. In these we often find camaraderie and a sense of being able to contribute to the community. Our sixth layer, as we're putting it on this occasion, is that of a marriage partner, or being in a marriage. This is a special love for an individual for whom we have a sexual attraction and a desire to share our whole life, through good times and bad. I've been in that relationship with my wife Helen for 41 years plus. Tragically, she died 9 years ago. But in this relationship, we might desire or to also share the creation of a family. The creation of the family is not something that we can determine, however, but due to our unique sexual abilities, it is a precious possibility and responsibility for two individuals. Not every married couple have the joys and hard work of raising children, but they are no less a couple, and this is still a married layer for them. Marriage might only be a smaller or larger part of our whole life, if and when we find the right person. Our society sometimes sees marriage as the ultimate relationship and the ideal to aspire to. In an often hypersexualised and marriage-focused society, having a sexual partner is seen by many as the ultimate of what it means to be human. The implication can then often be that if you do not have this, then you are somewhat diminished as a person, or not quite up to being a full human being. This sexual partner relationship can even take on the form of idolatry if it is seen as the be-all and end-all of what drives us in life. This can also be reflected in the potentially idolatrous statement that the family is everything. And we hear that quite often. In the light of our relationship with God, our family is not everything, nor is marriage. If they are, they will both inevitably disappoint. And we know that as a reality. Because neither can live up to the love that is found in a loving, self-sacrificial God. They might point in that direction, you might have some glimpses of that, but neither of them measure up to that. Both marriage and family are very important, but we need to be aware that they are not the centre of our lives. Ultimately, in all these relationships, God is at the centre of them, and we can only find the genuine identity of the kingdom of God, first of all, in our own lives. And that's where we come to this one. Our seventh and ultimate layer is that of being adopted into God's new and unique kingdom through the gift of baptism. This is the sacrificial seal that God has placed on us in our lives. Through Jesus' death on the cross, our life in this world will not end with death, but go on forever, beyond death, through the resurrection of Jesus, with whom we are intimately united. This ultimate layer, and you can see how we've got a sandwich here. We had the image of God that we were created in, and now we've got the image of Christ in whom we're being recreated. And everything else is in between, and everything else relates to those two. So this ultimate layer not only impacts us personally, but also communally, as we are incorporated into the kingdom of God through Christ's church in a physical and concrete way here on earth. In this layer, we take on being the image of Christ in the world. By contrast with the image of God that we started with, this image is perfect. And that's why all of us here, confessing our sins and acknowledging whom Jesus is, are perfect. You are perfect. In Christ, you are perfect. I am perfect. 100% forgiven. That's perfection. And we've got eternal life with God forever. That's what we all really want. That's what we're all really given. You are perfect. Because it is the image of the most loving and sacrificial Son of God, namely Jesus Christ, that we're connected to. So we have these five layers under here that make us who we are. And some people may have the sixth layer of a marriage-based relationship. But everyone is called on to put on the seventh crowning layer of being recreated in the image of Christ. In our reading today from Genesis 12, we read of a random man called Abraham who was invited by God to personally give up everything and follow God's will. Abraham was no one in particular, no one special. In actual fact, His family came from an idolatrous community back in Ur of the Chaldees. He was not super religious. God comes to him right out of the blue. Genesis chapter 12 just says, bang, there's Abraham. No introductions, no background, no credibility. God goes to him. Abraham was called by God and invited to enter into a loving, faithful life, utterly dependent upon God's grace and the relationship that was being formed between the two of them. Abraham could have been you or me. As people who are created and enlivened by God through our baptism, we have many ways of living in God's presence with these various layers of what it means to be human. We are to keep the two layers of God's image and Christ's image central in relationship to the other layers. From this anchor, we are to live our various other layers of humanity in God's presence. To conclude, let us remember our reaffirmation of who God is from Trinity Sunday last week. God is the community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Likewise, as God's people, we are created in the image of God. And being created into the image, being recreated into the image of Christ, we are part of a community. Individuals in the community of God, individuals in the community of Jesus and the kingdom. So in our encounter with God as individuals, this also calls us into a loving community of individuals joined with the community of God forever. This is our ultimate goal, our focus, and our identity by which we can genuinely find true life and live it each day. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you took on our humanity. You know these layers of identity. But ultimately, you know what's central, and that is your Father and the Holy Spirit and the way in which you lived your life for us. We pray that all of us, in whatever way we are living our lives, as individuals or as a married couple or as families or as citizens, that you would help us to keep our focus on you and live that out with you as our gracious Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.